Okay, so this is the second shir on the topic of Meperos and Meshlakos. Yesterday we started developing, right, basically the key, right, to the sugya, the mafteach to the sugya, is understanding the nature of the chisaron of Zeya Ba'ama, right? That is the chisaron that the Gemara basically explains is the reason why Meperos, why their bracha gets, you know, downgraded from ha'et to shahakal. So in order to understand why this chisaron applies in certain cases and not in other cases, we have to really understand, right, the nature of the chisaron of Zeya Ba'ama. So we started developing two approaches. Right, the first approach, in the middle of saying Rishonaman, was to say that the chisaron of Zeya Ba'ama, right, refers to the chisaron of Shinoi. Right, the idea was that in order to make the meperos, basically when you converted the pre to the liquid of meperos, so that constitutes a shinoi, and that shinoi results in the downgrading of the bracha. Basically, the bracha of Bori Pri Ha'etz refers to the status of the pre in its pre form, but when you change that form into liquid form, so then that shinoi downgrades the bracha to shahakal. Oh. And then the second approach, just by way of contrast, is that the focus is not on the change in form, but it's rather on the lack of chashivas of the meperos, which is to say that only the flesh of the fruit constitutes the chashiv component of the pri. Mash enkin, the meperos, right, the juice component of the pri is an eno chashiv, is an insignificant component of the fruit, and therefore it doesn't warrant the bracha of Ha'etz. So we're in the middle, those are the two overall perspectives, and now we're in the middle of looking at Rishonim, for which Rishonim adopt each approach. So starting with the first approach, that the focus is on Shinoi. So yesterday we saw at length, which is the Ra'ah. Right, we pointed out the Ra'ah in a number of his comments. All these comments seem to focus that the nature of the Chisaron of Zeya Ba'ama is this issue of Shinoi. We pointed out that explains why he compares, meperos to liquefied gufadavar in terms of the liquefaction of the chelav in the Gemara in Chulin Kuf Chaf. And we saw a number of, comments of the Ra'ah along the lines of Shinoi. Now moving on to other Rishonim, who also seem to adopt this first approach, that the focus of Zeya Ba'ama is on Shinoi. So the next Rishon on the list seems to be the Ritva. Right, so the Ritva in two places. Number one is in the Hilchos Brachos, Perek Aleph Halacha Chaf. So there, when the Ritva, right, explains the psak of meperos, right, only warranting shahakol, it's very clear that he uses very similar lashonos to the Ra'ah, which seems to be focusing on the fact that the meperos are no longer the gufa pri. There's been a shinoi from the original state of the pri to the current status of meperos. Happens to be the fact that you have here the Ritva aligning with the Ra'ah is not a coincidence. The Ritva is a big Talmud of the Ra'ah, and therefore in many, situations throughout Maseches Brachos and really throughout Shas, you'll find the Ritva aligning with the Ra'ah. Happens that in Maseches Brachos, we have the Chidushim of the Ra'ah, so you're able to see it more often, but it's a constant theme throughout, really, with the Ritva coming on the heels of the Ra'ah. So anyone have the Ritva in Hilchos Brachos?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you mind, just... We'll see that the Ritva's law shown to be very telling in terms of his understanding of Meperos. So Kovi's going to read for us. So this is Perek Aleph, Halacha Chaf, starts with Devash Fafilu Shel Tamar.
Perek Aleph, Halacha
Chaf.
Devash Fafilu Shel Tamar, Mechei Mashka, Shiviyote, Mishom, Pri, Mechayote, Bo, Bein Me'elav, Bein Derech Schita. Ain mavarchin alav ela shahako, kevan shaaf guf hadavar kai.
Oh, do you have aaf or ain?
Shein guf.
Okay. Like, well, that'd be important. Kevan shein guf hadavar kai. Right. So here you have this. I'll say the most important line in the Ritva. That he's trying to explain, he's trying to justify why meperos are no longer ha'etz. He says, "Kevan she'in guf hadavar kayim." It sounds like because there's been a shinoi from the original state of the pre, it's now no longer in that original form of the pre, it's now in a new form of liquid, of meperos, and therefore it loses the original bracha of ha'etz. That lashon of she'in guf hadavar kayim is very similar to the Ra'ah, who also said something along those lines. So again, just in the formulation itself, it's very clear from the Ritva. And then Lashitaso, it's very important that the Ritva, right, in line with saying that the kovea is this factor of shinoi, he says bein me'ilav bein daras chita. So Kovi, what is he trying to do there? What is he trying to say? Don't make a chilek between one and what?
Well, whether if the iser came on its own or whether you had to do something.
Yeah, not the iser, whether the liquid, whether the liquid came out on its own, or whether it came out because you extracted it, you took it out. Who is he trying to preclude? Which sheet on the Rishonim makes this chilek? Anybody remember?
The Ravid.
The Ravid, exactly. So the Ritzvah here is trying to preclude the chilek of the Ravid, and says, don't draw this distinction between the case where the liquid comes out on its own, whether you take it out. And the Ritzvah is very much l'shitasa. Because if you adopt the shinoi approach, which the Ritzvah seems to be adopting, so then it doesn't matter how that shinoi came about. Whether that shinoi from the original gufa pri to the liquid was because of you, because of your actions of schita, or whether it happened me'ilav, either way, there was a shinoi which took place when the pri was converted into a juice. So the fact that the Ritzvah, right, disregards this chilik between zav me'ilav and schita is very much l'shitaso, that the chisara in hand is shinoi, and therefore it doesn't really matter how that shinoi came about. What really is kovea is that the shinoi came about. And we're going to see this in contrast to the Ravid, who makes this chilek is going to really adopt the second approach and say that it's the kovea of Zeya Ba'alma is the lack of chashivas, and therefore if the whole focus is on the lack of chashivas, so then you could claim that chashivas is tali in your subjectively, that if the person, right, is actively sochet the fruit because he wants the juice, and that grants the juice chashivas, masha'enkein, if it's zav me'ilav, so then you didn't want it, it just came out on its own, that's eno chashivs. So again, we'll see, the Ravid who makes his chilek seems to adopt approach number two, but the Ritzvah l'shitaso who rejects this chilek seems to be l'shitaso to hold into the kovea is shinoi, and therefore it doesn't matter why, how the shinoi came about. Yes, Yoni? Good? Okay, awesome. The second piece of the Ritzvah, which is very much l'shitaso, is his piece in the Chidushim Lamed Chesam and Aleph. All right, if you go to the Ritzvah Lamed Chesam and Aleph, it's not so important to read inside. But the Ritzvah here on the sugya of Trima, right? Remember, after the Gemara Lamed Ches discusses Mei Peros, it then discusses the case of Trima, which is where you process the fruit itself. And the Gemara Lemaskana says that when it comes to Trima, because there hasn't been a shinoi, because bimulsayu kaimi kidmei kara, because it's still in the same form, because it's not a full process, the processing was not right full, so therefore it retains the bracha. But the Ritzvah on the spot says, the diuk from the Gemara seems to be, but if the processing of the fruit was full, and if you fully liquefied the fruit to the extent that it, right, becomes liquid, so then the bracha would change to shahakal because there was a shinoi. And says, oh, and that idea of the fully processed trima getting shahakal because of its shinoi, that's a binyan of for all meperos, which only deserve a shahakal. So, like the Ra'ah said yesterday, that this comparison between meperos and fully processed trima based on shinoi is very much within the approach of shinoi. Because, in the end of the day, since right now it's completely a liquid, and earlier it was a solid, that's a shinoi. But we're going to see, if the focus is on, no, the meperos is an eno chashiv component of the fruit, so then maybe you could be machalik between the meperos and where you liquefied the guf of the pri itself, because there you're liquefying even the chashiv component of the pri, and maybe the factor of eno chashiv wouldn't apply in such a case. But the fact that the Ritzvah, like the Ra'ah, equate meperos with a pri, which with the gufa pri, which is completely liquefied, it's clear that they think the kovea is shinoi, and therefore in both cases there is a shinoi, and therefore in both cases the psak is ishahakl. Fine? Oh, I thought you gave me a face. Fine. So those are the two pieces of the Ritzvah, again clearly adopting this shinoi approach. Moving on now to, right, so far we in this within the first approach we've had the Ra'ah and the Ritzvah. Now we're going to see that the Rabbeinu Yonah seems to also adopt the shinoi approach. If everyone can turn to Rabbeinu Yonah, Chav Zayin Amud Beis, Bedap Erev. That was Avram was having a discussion about the different surahs of Daf here. But I'm assuming you have a good one, if you're okay, yeah. So again, Chav Zayin Amud Beis, in the Rabbeinu Yonah, Diru Masla Umaya Deshifsa. Is everyone going to turn to it? Here, Rabbeinu Yonah is dealing with a big issue in the sugya, which is, why is there a difference between Meperos, which the Gemara Lamaches says has a shahakol, and Meshlakos, which the Gemara Lamates says retains its hadama? The big question in the sugya is, what's the difference between the two? What's the difference between fruit juice and vegetable juice? Why do they have, you know, differing psakim? So in explaining the difference between these two cases, Rabbeinu Yonah is clear that the chisaron of meperos, the factor of zeya ba'alma, which downgrades the meperos from ha'etz to shahakol, is this factor of shinui. Arya, what do you mind?
You put it into flavor.
Exactly. So the key is that he references the psak of that may shlokos are treated like shlokos themselves to have adama. Now he's going to ask the big question. What's the difference? Right, come on, what's the difference? If we basically say that mei shlokos are like shlokos, then mei peros should be like peros. So why do you have this conflicting psak in the Gemara? So here's the key. So what's hasam?
By tamar.
Is it by mei peros?
Exactly.
The hasam ishtanu legreyasa. So what does that mean?
It became the main thing was the tamar, and it's worse when it's in the status.
Right, there was a shinoi. There was a counterproductive detrimental. Thank you. Yeah. Like destructive? No. The detrimental. It was like a detrimental shinoi from the original state and the tamarim state to its Meperos state. Therefore, lefichach. Exactly.
Here it went up. The water now is like vegetable water.
Exactly. For some reason it's better. So again, we're going to get back to later in the sugya, perhaps tomorrow. Why is it that the shinoi by Meperos is detrimental, while the shinoi by shlokos is considered, you know, positive, constructive? We'll get back to that when we deal with that, you know, the contrast. But for our purposes right now, it's very clear that Rabbeinu Yonah thinks that the chisaron, which downgrades meperos from ha'itz to shahakol, is clearly the factor of shinoi legreis, which Rabbeinu Yonah clearly states. So again, it's clear, and Rabbeinu Yonah is adopting this first approach that the koveya is this the chisaron by meperos is the chisaron of shinoi legreis. Along the lines of the Ritzva and now Rabbeinu Yonah. Oh. So the next, we'll have like three more Rishonim. Yes?
Can you also say that he holds the Chashuv approach also? It's not considered Chashuv by vegetables, but by fruits it is considered Chashuv?
You mean the opposite?
The opposite.
Because I'm saying, but his focus seems to be on the Shinui. The only thing he mentions is the fact that it's. What?
Honey's not like fundamentally worse than
a date. Well, the Gemara is assuming that it is. That's
But if you're saying she is fundamentally different, it's just fundamentally not here. It's the whole point of the focus on the
Shinoi. No, because the Shinoi, I mean, if you the Chisaron, the factor of Shinoi only applies when it's a Shinoi Legreyasa. Because if it's a shinoi, that's
the
shemen, exactly.
Which therefore makes it
if it's a shinoi leiluya, like in the case of shemen or yayin, so then the factor of shinoi doesn't downgrade the bracha. So the fact that he's focusing on the greyasa, that's just to justify why the chisaron of shinoi is at point. But just from the lashon itself, Kovi, it sounds like he's focusing on the shinoi itself. And if you're focusing on the shinoi, it sounds like that is the chisaron at play. If you think that the koveya is a nechashev, we'll see rishonim who say that they have a very different presentation. Yeah, different lashon, and there'll be nafkamina as well. Okay, so let's move on to the next rishon who seems to say this. If everyone can open up their Rashba, you might. Right. Specifically, right now we're going to deal with the way the Rashba quotes the Bali Tosfos. Right, we'll see. The Rashba himself is going to be within the second approach. But it's very important the way the Rashba quotes the Bali Tosfos as being mechalek between Meistam me peros and zaysin va'anavim. Again, a different chiluk, right? We pointed out yesterday that there's a number of chilukim to deal with. The chiluk between me peros and me shlakos, and the chiluk within me peros between stam me peros and zaysin and yayin and shemen, or zaysin va'anavim, depending which, you know, which stage you're talking about. So here the Rashba, when he's quoting the Balei Tosfos, is dealing with the chiluk between stam me peros and zaysin va'anavim, and it's clear that the chiluk at hand, right, pertains to this factor of Shinoi. So we'll get back to the broader context of the Rashba in just a couple minutes. But for our purposes now, anyone have the Rashba? Yeah? Scott? Anybody have it?
Yeah.
Michal, do you see like a couple lines down is the Hachanami Kasha? Lamasha Pirshu Betosos. I was six lines down in that first paragraph of the Rashba. Yes. Again, this is the Rashba on Lamed Chasam Na'av, Dior Maschel Devash Shel Tamarim. So again, we'll read the broader context in just a moment, but for our purposes, we just want to see the way he quotes the Balei Tosfos. So, Hachanami Kasha.
Lamasha Pirshu
Betosos. Lamasha Pirshu
Betosos. Zaytim
Anavim. Ishtenu Leluya.
Habal Kosha Arme Perot Lo Ishtenu.
So that's the key for our purposes. So the Tosfos, again, this is not found in our Tosfos, but the Tosfos quoted by the Rashba, again, when coming to explain the chiluk between Zaysin va'anavim, which retain the original bracha, or at least get a more chasha bracha, in the case of Yayin, or the chiluk between those two and Mei Peros, right, it's very clear that the chiluk is whether the shinoi is a constructive shinoi or whether it is a detrimental shinoi. He says about kol shar me peros lo ishtnu leluya. Right, he doesn't use the lashon ishtnu legrayasa, but since it's not a constructive shinoi, hilkach kari lekula zeh ba'am. So it's very clear in this citation of Tosos that the cause of Zeya Ba'alma, that the nature of Zeya Ba'alma is the fact that it is a shinoi and it was a non-constructive / detrimental shinoi. So again, so the Balei Tosfos, as quoted by the Rashba, are also belong to this first approach that the koveya for Zeya Ba'alma is this factor of shinoi. Now, simple, and we'll get back to the broader context of the Rashba when we get to the second approach. So now moving on to, say, two last, you know, Rishonim within this first approach. The next one is the Me'iri. And things are going to get a little more complicated here. So far, it's been pretty glot, pretty smooth. When it comes to the Me'iri, it's going to get a little complicated. So the Me'iri on Lamates Amad Aleph, Dibur Amaschil, Mayim Shinis Bashli. Anybody have the piece? You have any? Okay. Right, so here is, again, it's a Lamates. So the Me'iri is discussing the Psak of the Gemara of Mei Shlakos Kishlakos, right? And trying to figure out what types of cases does this pertain to. So you see, starting with the Yesh Mefarshim.
Yesh Mefarshim Shemavarich Alayim Bari Pri Adama. Shaharei Tama Yerakos Kos Namayim. So something that you make a Hadama, because the flavor of the Yerakos are in the water.
The Kol Shekain.
The Kol Shekain Mishalahem.
And what's the Kol Shekain? And similarly,
like the juice.
Exactly, right. So the Yesh Mefarshim is very important. The Yesh Mefarshim say that this psak of Mishlakos Kishlakos applies to two cases. We'll call it vegetable juice and vegetable soup, right? The vegetable juice, the mitz, where you squeeze the juice out of the vegetables, in one case, where the Mishnah Mefarshim say this psak applies to. So he's saying vegetable juice retains the bracha of Adama, but so too does what we call vegetable soup, where you're mevashel the yirakos in mayim, and then the tam of the yirakos go into the mayim. So the Yesh Mefarshim are saying both of those cases retain the bracha adama. So both the juice, or the juice of the vegetable, or the tam of the vegetable, which goes into the water. But now the Me'iri is going to ask a very important kasha on this psak. And then he's going to, you know, change his understanding. So V'imkin
zu kasha l'masha pirashi l'mala didafka b'shetziras ha'yara kayemes.
Oh, so what's his problem? What's the problem with this psak?
That this halacha, it only applies when like the vegetable is still like has its shape.
It's exactly. Like, basically saying, shinoi, right? The only time the bracha of Adama is retained is when the tsura of the vegetable is still intact. Pishitsuras hayera kayemis, when you still have the vegetable intact. So, Meir has a problem. How can you therefore apply the psak of Adama to both these cases when the tsura of the original vegetable is no longer intact? But you would, if you stop there, you would assume this would be a problem with both cases. Because in both cases, you no longer have the vegetable anymore. In both cases, they're a type of juice or soup, but either way, it's not the yerek itself. But yet, in a surprising twist, the Meiri only has a problem with one of the cases, and we're going to have to explain why. Say, Elishanirali,
Sha'al Hamitz Levad, Namor. So that only on the juice you would make Hadama.
Hadama?
Aval Mayim Shnispashlu Bahem Bishahakol.
Up in a case where you're Mavashel, the Yerek, in water, so then that gets a Shahakol.
The juice of the pre?
This is Shlakos.
So when we say the juice versus the water, what do we mean?
Meaning like when you squeeze, let's say, carrot juice.
Okay.
When you squeeze the juice
out
of it.
Carrot juice.
That's carrot juice. Versus, let's say, carrot soup, when you just...
Oh, that's what...
When you cook carrots in water, and then the tom comes out.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
But it's fascinating about this meiri, is that number one, the fact that he asks this kasha and says, oh, right, the davka b'shetsura sayara kayemes, it's clear that he's adopting this first approach, that the bracha, the original bracha, is not going to be retained if there's a shinoi, if the tsura is no longer intact. That's clear.
Yeah.
Right? So it's clear that he adopts approach number one, that what's going to cause the downgrade in the bracha is if there's a shinoi in the tsura. Fine. But the problem is, wait a second, once he's adopting this tsura idea, so then why does he only have a problem in the case of the soup, of the bishel, of the yirakos in the water? He says, only in that case does the factor of shinoi downgrade the bracha to shahakol. But in the case of the juice, there, says the Meiri, yeah, there the hadama is retained. And the question is, wait a second. Why, in the case where you're extracting the juice from the vegetable, is there no shinoi? What do you mean? As we said the entire time, the entire approach is that you have the... From the perspective of the original vegetable, right? Originally, the juice was part of the vegetable, and now you take it out, so now it's a shinoi. It originally was part of the pre, and now it's just a liquid.
In the case where you're taking the fruit from the juice, so, I mean, juice from the fruit, so it's still part of the fruit, like, you got it from the fruit, but here, in the soup case, it's complete. You're just transferring the flavor to a whole different entity. It's not like you're taking out.
Okay, so one more time. What's exactly the difference?
You're not taking out like in the carrot case.
Both carrots. I mean, in the juice versus soup.
Yeah. So in the case we're taking out the juice from the carrot, right?
Okay, yeah.
So you're taking out it's like you're just separating part of the carrot from it. So it's not like a insane like shinoi.
Okay.
But here, it's a completely different entity. You're transferring the taste from the dill or whatever, the carrot, into the water.
Into the soup. Okay. So just to expound on what I think Avram is trying to get at is the following point. And tell me if you agree with what I'm saying. I think what Avram is saying is as follows. When we presented this first approach of shinoi, we basically said, oh man, there were Rechonim who asked, like, wait a second, why is there a shinoi? Right, the liquid was the same inside the fruit as it is outside. There's no change from the perspective of the juice itself. The juice was juice inside, and the juice is juice outside. So the way we answered that question was like, no, the focus of the shinoi is not from the perspective of the juice, it was from the perspective of the pre. From that new perspective, yeah, originally the juice was tafel to the pre, and now it's independent, that's the shinoi. But I think Avram, and I like to suggest, is that what the Meiri is going back to the Havamina of the question. It's basically saying, no. The focus of shinoi is from the juice itself. And if you focus on the juice itself, so then, yeah, there is no shinoi, because from the perspective of the juice itself, it was juice inside the vegetable in this case, and it's juice outside the vegetable. So from the perspective of the juice itself, there's been no change. But in the case of the soup, of the bishel, so there, right? Again, so we're saying the case of the juice, you're saying it was an independent entity, we're saying, inside the vegetable, inside the fruit, and now it's an independent entity outside. But when it comes to the tam, not the juice, you're basically changing, the tam originally was a chilek of the pri of the vegetable, and now it's a chilek of the water. So that's the shinoi. So in the case, right?
Yeah.
Right. So basically, what we're in, conceptually, what the Meiri seems, he seems to be adopting the shinoi approach, but saying that the focus of the shinoi is not on the vegetable or not on the original fruit. The focus is rather on the juice itself. And if once you change the perspective to the juice itself, you can say, when it comes to juice, there was juice inside the fruit and now juice outside. But either way, it was an independent entity within the fruit, and now it's an independent entity outside. When it comes to the tam, the tam was originally part and parcel of the pri or the vegetable, and now it's a, so it's originally was a chilek of the vegetable slash pri, and now it's a chilek of the mayim. That's the shinoi. So that's why the Meiri, while adopting this approach of shinoi, seems to be taking a slightly different version of the other mefarshim and explaining and understanding that the shinoi, once you focus on the juice itself, could be viewed as only pertaining to the case of the bishul, of the soup, and not the case of the juice. Yeah.
I have one problem with that.
Yeah.
Saying that it's from the perspective of the juice as opposed to the fruit. The Meiri mentions explicitly that it's the tsuro. And there's no tsuro by liquid as opposed to by the actual fruit.
So maybe we're saying because the tsuro of the liquid.
There's no such thing as the tsuro as a liquid. I think that the tsuro has to be talking about the vegetable.
I mean, tsuro just means form.
Yeah, the shape. There's no shape of.
Liquid, meaning?
The shape of the liquid changes from when it's. The juice as opposed to when it's mixed in with water, it's still the same shape.
No. So I'm saying that what's different about what the chilek between juice and ta'am is that juice, I mean, let's say, right, is separate from, right, when you have a pri, when you have a vegetable, there's the flesh, and then there's the juice part. So we're saying, right, there are two components to it. There's the juice, and then there's the flesh. So we're saying you're just taking that juice component and taking it out. So originally it was juice, and now it's juice. When it comes to tam was the part of was. I mean, tam is not just referring to the juice. Tam is of the flesh itself, right? You're saying so. Tam was a chilek of the flesh itself, and now you're taking it out, so it's no longer flavoring the flesh of the vegetable, the fruit. It's now flavoring the water. So that's a change in its form because it was originally a chilek of the pri or the shlakos, and now it's a chilek of the mayim. That's a change in form. Masha Inkin, the liquid, which is considered an independent entity, and therefore that sura didn't change. It's a suggestion. Yeah, did you?
So why does Meiri have a shinoi then?
Oh, good. So the Meiri on how do you see there's a Meiri on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, which has a dea, and I'm who basically says that the psak of Meiperos is limited to the case where it's Zav Me'elav, for other reasons. But in a Hanami, the classic Meiperos, which are Nischat, they retain. There's a day on the Meiri which says that it retains its Ha'etz, and the Meiri on Lamed Ches, this is the Meiri on Lamed Ches, Amanal, Dira Masal, Devash Tamarim, right, has this day that says, yeah, when you take the juice out of fruit, it retains its Ha'etz, just like Meishlakos. So you have to seem to align these two different deos, but you're 100% right. This perspective on the schita of the shlakos would seemingly have to carry over to the schita of Peros itself. And if you look at the Meiri quotes a dea on Lamed Ches, which also says this. So 100%. Was there a hand here? Okay, good. It's okay.
So what does he say Zia Ba'alma means?
So he thinks Zia Ba'alma is only that one day on Lamed Ches is when it was Zav Me'ilov. When it came out on its own. Presumably that's an Eino Chashev factor. That when it comes out on its own, like no one cared about it to take it out. It just like, oozed out. So that's Zeya Ba'alma because that's insignificant. That's Eino Chashev. Along the lines of the Raifit, which we'll get to. But good question both by Yedidya and Yosef. Oh. The last Rishon, I've been doing this for a while, the last Rishon within this first approach is the Rabbeinu Menach. Right, so when Rabbeinu Menach on the Rambam, right, in Hilchos Brachos, Perek Ches Halacha Beis, so right, Rabbeinu Menach, Hilchos Brachos, Perek Ches Halacha Beis. So here Rabbeinu Menach, again, is trying to explain the distinction in Psak between Stam Meiperos, which are downgraded to Shahakol, and Shemin and Yayin, which basically retain their brachos, are not downgraded. And when he explains the chiluk, again, the chiluk is all in terms of shinui, aligning the Rabbeinu Menach with this first approach. Do you have it, Rabbeinu Menach?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Rabbeinu Menach?
Rabbeinu Menach, yeah.
Hasogei peiros lehotzi,
Oh, right. He says, "Me peros again are getter shahakol." Because why? Exactly, because they're ishtanei legreya. So because it's a shino, is a detrimental shinoi. Why?
Sheyoser he chashuva achila sateri
meachilas hamashke. Right, because it was the original state in its in the fruit state where you're able to eat it. That's a better state than drinking the juice. So therefore, it's an ishtanei legreya. In contrast, Hashem and Yayin. Right. So again, so Rabbeinu Menachem is clearly distinguishing and saying that that what knocks the bracha of mei peros down to shakol is because of the shinoi legreyasa, again invoking this factor of shinoi, in contrast to yayin and shemen, which are shinoi lamaliyasa. And then he gets into so then they're both the same. Why does yayin get upgraded to its own chashav bracha and shemen stays the same? That's a reference to the Gemara and Laman Hayam Biz with the factor of sayid, etc. So again, so just to the list, you have the Ra'ah, the Ritva, Rabbeinu Manoach, the Tosos and the Rashba, the Meiri, and Rabbeinu Manoach, all adopting this first approach that the Chisaron of Zeya Ba'alma is the Chisaron of Shinoi. Now let's move on to the second approach, which we call the Eino Chashev approach, which says that the Chisaron of Zeya Ba'alma is not the change per se, but it's rather that the juice component of the fruit is insignificant. And it has nothing to do with the change, but just the fact that just the nature of the mei peros component of the pre is the insignificant component of the pre, and therefore it doesn't get the chashav bracha of borei priyayis. Before getting to the Bishonim, I'd like to give one nafkamina, which is a clear highlight of the distinction between these two mahalchim, and that is, you guys know the picture on the Tropicana juice where you have the straw inside, right, stuck into the orange. Oh. So that case, is cited by Achronim. Details get a little complicated, but basically that case seems to be a clear nafkamina between the two different approaches. Because according to Shinoi, the only time that the bracha gets downgraded from ha'etz to shakal is when you have a Shinoi, when you converted the fruit to the juice. But in this case, where you stick your straw up right into the fruit, you basically accessed the fruit, sorry, you accessed the juice before the Shinoi took place. So if the koveya is shinoi, so there's no shinoi in that case. But if you think, no, the koveya is just that the mei peros, that the juice component of the pri is eino chashev, so then, yeah, you're drinking the eino chashev component of the pri, and therefore it gets a shahakel. So again, this case of sticking the straw into the fruit, it seems to be a great litmus test where you basically are able to divide between the two approaches, because you're able to access the juice before the shinoi takes place. Again, according to the shinoi approach with the koveya, the downgrading takes place on the shinoi, you get in before the shinoi. But according to the enochashev approach, the enochashev is just saying that the juice is always enochashev. That always was the insignificant component of the pri, and therefore it should always have the shahakol. The reason why I didn't have you see the actual Achronim which discusses this is because the other component of that case which confuses things is that the Machlokes Achronim, they call that mitzitza. So when you suck the juice, they don't talk about a straw, because when you suck the juice straight out of the vegetable, that's called mitzitza. And the big Machlokes whether mitzitza has a din of achila or shtia. If you think as a din of achila, if you think that sucking the juice from the fruit is as if you're eating the fruit itself, so then that's going to negate this nafkamina anyways, because the bracha is not going to be, the koveya for the bracha is not going to be the juice, it's going to be the fruit itself. So again, that's why I didn't have you see the achronim themselves, because they discuss mostly the mitzitza, whether mitzitza is nechshav keachila or keshtia. But for our purposes, if you were to take the mitzitza aspect out of things and just say, oh yeah, the koveya for the bracha was the juice, And the question is, what's the bracha on the juice? So then it would be an afkamina between these two different approaches, according to approach number one, that the bracha on the juice is only downgraded al yidei shinoi, then in this case you're not going to have that downgrade. But if you think that the koveya for juice is bracha is shahakol, just because eino chashav, so then that would apply in this case as well. So again, it's just a clear way of also just conceptually distinguishing between these two different approaches. You have this case, which is like, okay, yeah, sometimes like it hits at home. Yeah, now I understand the chilik between these two different cases. One's al yidei shinoi, and one's just the fact that it's eino chashav. Fine. So now getting to the rishonim themselves, who seem to adopt this second approach of Eino Chashev. This takes us back to the Rashba. So whoever has a Rashba, please open it up, because a number of comments of the Rashba, again, seem to highlight that the Rashba is adopting not the Shinoi approach, but rather this second approach of Eino Chashev. Anybody have a Rashba? Oh, okay, great. So Emmanuel. Forgot about you. Yeah, so again, the Dior Masl is Lam and Chasam Nal, Dior Masl Dvash Shel Tamar. So we're going to see right now that the Rashba is going to question, rather, one of the cases brought down in the Brisa. Remember after the Gemara brought the Memra on Lam and Ches, on Mar Baravashi about Dvash, right? The Tamri, the Gemara aligns Mar Baravashi with the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua when it comes to Meperos, right? The Brisa lists a number of different examples of Meperos, which the Rabbi Yeshua says, yeah, they're not subject to Truma. So the Gemara aligns those two Shitos. But we're going to see that one of the examples in that list in the Brisa is the case of Chometz Stonios, which is the juice coming out of unripened fruit. So we're going to see the fruit is Eino Chashev, and the juice, we're going to say, is also Eino Chashev. And what the Rashba is going to analyze is whether the klalim of Neperos apply to that case as well. So go for it.
Rashba is my invent
of
Chometz Stonios. I think it's Sitmaniot.
What?
I think it's Sitmaniot.
Okay,
there's a fruit called the Sitmaniot.
Okay, so then, go for
okay.
it.
Okay.
Hey, good.
I'm not sure what it is.
Yeah, but either way, I know, I appreciate the correct pronunciation.
Let's go for it.
Okay. Spirish Rashi. Right, so Rashi, right, explains, again, this idea that what makes Zesim and Anavim distinct is that the purpose of Zesim and Anavim are to get to the liquids. Masha Inkein, other May Peros, that's not the purpose, therefore they are different. Again, we'll get back to this Rashi and its reasoning of what the purpose of the fruit is, but you'll see why we didn't put this on either of the lists, because I don't think it's clear from Rashi which approach he's taking. Either way, Kashali, here's the Kasha. So what is he saying? Why does this reasoning not apply to the chometz of the sitzvanit?
Because it's only for mashke.
He's saying, wait a second. Why does the klal of mei peros being downgraded include this case of the chometz sitzvanis? There, since the fruit itself is so bad, the only purpose it has is for its fruit. Is for its juice, so therefore it should be in the category of the zeisim v'anavim. Asks Rashi, right? The adraba lo nitan elo lamashke, right? Ve'ein darko le'achal. No one eats the fruit itself. The derech hayotzim imenu le'achalu, right? And the derech is to get its juice out. The isa bin adarim v'chulei. Then v'hachanami. Now he's going to bring in the tosas that we quoted earlier. Right, so again, he's saying also for Tosus' reasoning, which is all about whether it's a constructive or detrimental shinui, he's saying the same thing here. The chometz is funny else, yeah. He's basically saying either, both according to Rashi, that the koveya is whether that's the purpose, or whether for Tosus the koveya is whether it's a positive change. In both cases, there's an upgrade from the sitvanis to its chometz. So basically, why does the Gemara apply the principle of mei peros that it too gets a shahakol? So now we're going to see the Rashba is going to have a complete paradigm shift in his answer. The koveya, right? Up at the question is assuming that the koveya of mei peros is Shinoi according to Tosos, or whether this is the Derech according to Rashi. And according to those perspectives, this case doesn't make sense, because in these, right, in the case of the Chometz of the Sitvanis, there the Derech, right, the Derech and the Shinoi is all an upgrade from the Pri to the Mashke. But let's see the Rashba's answer.
הם גרועים מאוד, ואינם גרועים גם היוצא מהם, אף על פי שיותר רואים מהן עצמן, בכל מקום הוא גרוע כל כך שאינו ראוי לקרות משקיע, אלא זה הבעלמה.
So what is he saying? In essence, what was his answer?
Or lack of...
Exactly. So what is he saying? Granted that the juice is better than the pre, and therefore from the perspective of Shinoi, it would be a positive Shinoi. But says the Rashi, that's not the Koveya. The Koveya is rather the Chashivus of the Mashke. And therefore, since the fruit is so bad, even though the juice is more chashuv than the fruit, but you started so low that even its fruit juice is eino chashuv, right? Nikomakum hu garua kolkach. Even the fruit juice, even the chometz of the sitvanis is so bad. Sheino roi likros mashke. It doesn't even deserve. It doesn't warrant to be called a mashke. Elazea ba'alma. See, here the Rashba is very clear that the Kovet, that what Zeya Ba'alma is not about Shinoi, on whether it was a positive or a detrimental Shinoi. The Kovet of Zeya Ba'alma is that it's Eino Chashiv, it's not even deserving to be called an ordinary Mashke. Zeya Ba'alma is less than a Mashke. It's Zeya Ba'alma. It's so insignificant that it's not even considered Zeya. So therefore, from this new perspective of the Rashba, yeah, even though the Chometz of the Sitvanis is better, the Chometz is better than the Pri, but once the Koveya is Eino Chashev, you can say that even the Chometz is Eino Chashev, and therefore subject to the downgrading of Shehakol. So here, when the Rashba is answering his question, he's clearly introducing a new perspective on the chisaron of Zeya Ba'alma as it being a lack of chashivus, and therefore it applies even in such a case. Yeah.
Oh, is it a lack of chashivus compared to the original fruit, or just
no objective? That's the key. I'm talking to Ari about. Okay. From the perspective of eino chashiv, it's not relative to original fruit. Meaning, when it came to the shinoi approach, in order to ascertain, to determine whether it's a positive shinoi, shinoi lamaliyasa, or shinoi greyasa, everything is relative. Yeah. What is the mei peros relative to the original pri? And that's why the question based on Rashi was, in this case, the chometz is relative to original is better.
Right.
But according to the Rashi, no, once the perspective is inochashiv, it's the objective stature and status of the juice. And therefore, it doesn't matter what it was relative to the fruit, as long as it is objectively in a chashuv, it has the same status. It's very important. Yeah.
The Rashi just made up the fact that that a fruit is less chashuv than a yer.
No, he's talking about this. One more time?
Where did he get this from? The fact that.
Which part? The fact that this particular that fruit is in a chashuv, or that in general, that may peros are. Okay, so he quotes evidence from like other Gemaras to show that this chometz of the Sitvanis is Eino Chashev. And then what he's going to...
It shows that the juice is less chashev than the fruit. It doesn't show that the fruit in general is less chashev.
Well, that was actually talking about the fruit itself. That's the Gemara that he brings, I think. No?
Yes.
He's saying there, the only derech is to use the fruit... It's to use the juice and not the fruit itself, because the fruit itself sounds like it's ineroi lachila. That's what the Gemara Nadarim seems to be saying. And then your other question is, has he know that this applies to all fruit juice? So that we're going to get the Rashi is going to account for that later. In the third paragraph in the piece, he's going to explain. He's going to explain the chilik between mei peros and mei shlakos. Yeah.
What makes something not chashev? Because clearly it is chashev if people want the juice.
Good. That's good. The Rashba later is going to say whether it's the derech of people to use the juice.
Also, wouldn't this apply to that?
Just hold off on that one second. Right. We're going to get to this later, but the Rashba's koveya for what's a chashev of juice or not is whether people normally basically use the pre or the vegetable to get to that juice. If the derech of people is to try to utilize the juice, that grants chashivas to the juice. But if the derech of people is not to use the juice, so then that grants it, that makes it eino chashev. Go back to this.
The same will apply if you're squeezing the fruit, or
squeezing
it because then you show that you want the juice.
Okay, so that's going to get to the right now. So, hold off on that in just a moment. So, right now, what we just read was the first paragraph. Second paragraph, which we'll get back to later, but just to summarize, he quotes the Ravid, right? What's the Yedidja? What's the Ravid's chilek?
Ravid said that.
That may, meaning the chilek between which types of made peros are downgraded to shahakol and which made. Exactly, right? So the Ravid, quoted in the second paragraph of the Rashba, is a very important chilek and says, oh, the Gemara's psak of made peros being downgraded to shahakol is only in the case where the juice is zav me'ilav, when the juice comes out on its own. But in a case where you're actively sochet the juice, so then it retains its bracha of a eitz. That's a chilek of the Ravid. And the Ravid, in doing so, is basically has to work hard to now work out the Gemara, because the problem is, right, if that's the pshat in Mar Baravashi, the Ravid saying, when Mar Baravashi says that the Dufsha de Tamri get a shahakol, it's only because Dufsha de Tamri are a case where it's zav me'ilav. But says the Ravid, Mar Baravashi would say, in the case where you are actually sochet the meperos, so then it gets ha'etz. But the problem with the Ravid himself notes, is that the Gemara aligns Mar Baravashi with which shita? With Rabbi Yeshua, who seems to say that all meperos don't get the truma. So that's a big question of the Ravid has to contend with, is that how does the Gemara align Mar Baravashi with Rabbi Yeshua? If Rabbi Yeshua seems to say it's a gezeiras hakasuv that all meperos are not treated like the pri itself, but while according to the Ravid, Mar Baravashi says no, the only time that meperos aren't treated like the pri itself is only when it's zav me'ilav, but not when you're actively sochet. Yes. Exactly. That same Me'iri is basically is quoted. That day is really quoting the Ravid, 100%. So we'll get back to how the Ravid is going to deal with that. That's the second paragraph. But I like to get to how the Rashba rejects the Ravid in the third paragraph, and we're going to see that the Lashonos that the Rashba uses to reject the Ravid is going to be very much Lashitaso, that the Chisaron of Zeya Ba'alma is all about the lack of Chashivas. Yedidja, do you have the Rashba in front?
Yeah.
Do you want to ask Ubevadai?
Paragraph.
Oh, you're on the paragraphs? Oh, right after your quotes. Exactly. Right, he's saying that the Ravid Shita doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Tadinim klal adamar baravashi v'hadar v'yeshua v'hidu v'yeshua tali v'gzeres akasim haka da'ay mashke gamar v'mar baravashi havi v'shum d'lo chashid v'lay mashke alazia.
Oh, very important line. So he says, wait a second. As we said before, how can it be tole? How can the Gemara be tole Mar Baravashi with Rabbi Yeshua if they're completely different shitos, right? But pay careful attention to the lashon he uses for each. He says Mar Baravashi, what does he say? To lo chashiv le mashke elazeah, right? When he characterizes Mar Baravashi's zeya ba'alma, it's that zeya ba'alma is not considered a mashke. It's zeya ba'alma. Very important line. If the Rashba was within the first approach of Shinoi. So the Shinoi approach, as we saw in a lot of the Rishonim, the focus, the contrast of Zeya Ba'alma is to what? Is it Zeya Ba'alma and not the pre itself. Exactly. It was a Shinoi from the pre to Zeya Ba'alma. So all the Rishonos of the Rishonim, like the Ra'ah, the Ritzvah, etc., of Zeya Ba'alma, it's not the pre, it's rather Zeya Ba'alma. The Rashba is not contrasting Zeya Ba'alma with the pre, which would imply Shinoi. He's contrasting Zeya Ba'alma with what? What's the contrast? With Mashke. Meaning, Mashke is a significant liquid, and Zeya Ba'alma is an insignificant liquid. So the Rashba Lashitaso, in focusing on Eino Chashuv, basically formulates Zeya Ba'alma as a contrast to Mashke. Not to pre, because it's not about a Shinoi from pre to Mashke. It's all about, is this a significant Mashke? So Zeya Ba'alma is saying this is not a significant Mashke, it's Zeya Ba'alma. It's insignificant. In contrast to Rabbi Yeshua, right, where he says, because the Chiddush of Rabbi Yeshua is that because of the Gezeiros HaKasuv, all Meperos are considered, are not considered to have the status of a pre. And he says, V'al Fagav to have a Mashke Gamor. Even in the cases where it's a significant mashke, so what the Rashba is trying to say is that how can you align Mar Baravashi, which is all about insignificant mashke, with Rabbi Yeshua, who applies his psak even to a significant mashke? But within the Rashba, it's all about whether this is a significant mashke or Zeya Ba'alma, which is a code term for insignificant mashke. Very important. So again, Lishitaso, to the beginning of the piece, where it's clear that he answered the case, where he explained the case of Chometz Sitvanis based on this factor of Eino Chashev, here Lishitaso, the Rashba, his formulations in regards to Zeya Ba'ama is all contrasting Zeya Ba'ama with Mashke, which is all about Chashivas. So now, skipping down a little bit, he says, Ela Mashma de Taima, now he's giving his own pshat in Zeya Ba'ama. You see that?
Yeah.
Meaning, you're trying to say, don't say like the Ravid that Marbar of Ashi's, you know, Mahalach is different than Rabbi Yeshua, who's based on a pasuk. No, it's all one and the same. It's that Marbar of Ashi is giving the tam for Rabbi Yeshua's Gzeiras HaKasuv. Right? So it's not that Rabbi Yeshua's Gzeiras HaKasuv and Marbar of Ashi has a svara. It's that they're all one shita based on the Gemara, and Marbar of Ashi's Svara of Zeya Ba'ama is the Svara behind Rabbi Yeshua's Gzeiras HaKasuv. But let's see how he explains it. Right, the time of Kadarshina, he's giving the reason for the drasha. Right. For all meperos, the truma is not chal on the meperos, with the exception of the yain and shemen. Shema mina is the key line. Right, because the idea, right, why is it that made peros don't have the shame truma of the original pri? Because the lo chashiv mashke el zeya ba'ama. Again, that line, where he's contrasting zeya ba'ama with mashke, to say that it's an insignificant, doesn't have the status of a significant mashke, it's considered zeya ba'ama, which is an insignificant mashke, and therefore it doesn't have the shame truma. And based on this mahalach, that Zeya Ba'ama is all back about the lack of chashivas, we can explain the case of Chometz Sitvanis, where even though there the juice is better than the pri, and therefore from the perspective of Shinoi, it would be a Shinoi Le'iluya, would be a Shinoi Ma'aliyasa, but because, says the Rashba, the Koveya is not Shinoi, which is all relative to what it was earlier, but the Koveya is rather the status of the juice of being Eino Chashiv, therefore it accounts for the case of Chometz Sitvanis as well. So again, the whole Rashba, right, both at the beginning and the end, all seems to be adopting this second approach, that the Koveya is the lack of Chashivas. We don't have so much time, but the second Rishon, which seems to adopt this Eino Chashiv approach, is the Rashbam, quoted in the Tosos in Chulin. Again, this is a very hard Tosos. I felt bad assigning it. I figured people would have a hard time understanding it, but it was so important for the sugya. I just figured might as well take a crack at it, and then I'll explain it more in full now. So the Rashbam quoted in Tosos in Chulin, Kuf Chaf Amid Beis, Dira Mas Vahecha. The background is as follows. Again, hopefully you'll be able to read it inside if you chazer the Tosos. Oh. Tosos is basically bothered. If you remember, basically Gemara and Kuf Chaf Amid Beis is basically asking, how do we know that the May Peros of Chadash and Tevel and all these Isurim are treated like the Pri itself? The Gemara is asking, you know, what's the Raya, what's the Makor that the May Peros are treated like the Pri? And the Gemara is a Havamina that, oh, maybe you can learn it out from the case where you liquefy the Guf HaDavar, the Chametz, the Nevela, and the Chametz, Nevela, and the Chalev, right? The fact that we have Makoros and Amud Aleph, that, right, those liquefied forms of those Yisurim are treated like the Guf HaDavar, so to carry that over to the Meperos themselves. Fine, that's what the Gemara is saying. But Tosfos has a very important kasha. He basically says, wait a second. The only reason why the Gemara and Amud Aleph needed a special drasha to include the liquefied version of these Isurim of Chilev, Nevela, and Chametz is only because there was a pasuk in the context of all those Isurim which said Achila. Because the Torah uses the word Achila by all of those Isurim, so therefore, there you'd have a Havamina that if you're being Shoset these Yisurim, because the Yisurim were liquefied, so maybe you'd have a Havamina that they wouldn't be, that the Shasiya wouldn't be included, and therefore you need a Gzeiras HaKasuv to say, despite the drush of Achila, even so, these liquefied versions are included. So basically ask Tosis, only by those Yisurim do you need a drasha to include the liquid version of them, because it says Achila. But says Tosos, based on the Shaka B'tar of the Gemara. But Kilayim that the Gemara is dealing with, Kilayim doesn't have a Lashon of Achila. So since Kilayim doesn't have a Lashon of Achila, so you don't, as Tosis, therefore you shouldn't need a drasha to include the May Peros of Kilayim in the Isra of Kilayim. So basically, in short, Tosis Kash is as follows. Maybe you only need a drasha to include the liquid version of Chilev, Chametz, and Nevela, because there you'd have a Havamina to exclude the liquid version because of the Lashon of Achila. But back in Kuvchav Amud Beis, where we're talking about Kilayim, and Kilayim doesn't have a Lashon of Achila, so you don't need any Riboy to include the May Peros of Kilayim, because there was no reason to exclude the May Peros. That's the question that Tosas asks. The Rashbam answers, there's a fundamental distinction between the case in the Amud Aleph, where you're liquefying the Guf Hadavar itself, and on Amud Beis, in the context of Kilayim, where you're talking about not the liquefied version of the Guf Hadavar, but you're talking about Mei Peros. So says the Rashbam, when it comes to the liquefied version of the Guf Hadavar, there, because you're dealing with the Guf Hadavar itself, so there, the only reason why you thought to exclude them is because it's a Lashon of Achila. And therefore, once it's a Lashon of Achila, only then do you need the Riboy to include them. But by Kilayim, because we're only not dealing with the liquefied version of the Guf HaDavar, you're talking about the Mei Peros, you're talking about the liquid which comes out of the Peros of Kilayim. So there, you'd have a Havamina to exclude the Mei Peros from Kilayim, even without the Lashon of Achila. And therefore, by Kilayim, even though you don't have the Lashon of Achila, you still need a Riboy to include Mei Peros, because Mei Peros are fundamentally different than the liquefied Guf HaDavar. That was a complicated cheshbon in the Gemara itself, but for our purposes, what's coming out of this Rashbam is that there is a fundamental distinction between liquefied Guf HaDavar and Mei Peros. Exactly. In stark contrast to the Ra'ah and the Ritzvah. Remember, the Ra'ah and the Ritzvah equated those two, because from the perspective of Shinoi, there's no difference between those two cases. From the perspective of Shinoi, it's all the original form was solid, and now it's in a liquid form. So from the perspective of Shinoi, the Ra'ah and the Ritzvah equated liquefied Guf HaDavar with Mei Peros, because in both, from the perspective of Shinoi, it went from solid form to liquid form. But from the perspective of the second approach of Eino Chashiv, there's a fundamental difference between these two cases. Because from the perspective of Chashivos, Eino Dome, right, where you liquefy the Guf HaDavar itself, where you're liquefying the Chashiv aspect of the item itself, with the case of Mei Peros, where you're talking about the Eino Chashiv component of the fruit. So the fact that the Rashbam draws this fundamental distinction between the liquefied Guf HaDavar and Mei Peros, it seems like the Rashbam is adopting the second approach, that what the chisaron of Mei Peros is the fact that they're Eino Chashiv, and therefore that differentiates them from the liquefied Guf HaDavar, where you're taking the Chashiv component of the item itself. So again, yes. We'll stop here, but again, in short, well, you had a whole group of Rishonim adopting approach number one. We just saw that both the Rashba, consistently throughout this piece, and the Rashbam in the Tosas and Chulin, both adopting the second approach of Eino Chashiv. And then continue on in the sugya, we'll discuss the major implications of these two approaches.